Well, it's a very special show tonight because this morning as I was driving into work, as I assume many folks were driving into work, we were all listening to the Morning Musers as George Dunham was going off on Jerry Jones. And I think George said a lot of things that resonated with a lot of people, especially concerning some things that Jerry said at the end of the game Sunday. In fact, I was taking my son to school this morning while listening to it. We did not speak as we drove because George's words were resonating through the Jeep and landed with a pretty resounding thud in a very good way. When I told my son that we were going to have George on tonight to talk about what he said, he said, "That's good because I got a lot of questions." So does David. So do I. So let's bring him on now. A man who certainly needs no introduction to the people who listen to this particular radio station, the great Giorgio, George Dunham. Hi, George.
Hey, fellas. Let's get your son on the air.
He's got a lot of hot sports opinions about Jerry.
He does.
I mean, Harry's sitting there as we're driving to work, and all Harry could say was, "Man, he's so right. He's so right." Like, yeah, Harry is. Harry's 14. He's very sports and politically conscious these days. So when, you know,
good for him.
And the fact is, look, and David and I've talked about this for years on this show, thinking about the fact that we've been doing it for years, but Harry was never a big Cowboy fan because the Cowboys that he's known have always been
his generation.
Generation. As far as 14-year-olds are concerned, the Cowboys aren't a very good team.
So No, and that extends into, you know, my middle son is in his 20s. He's never seen him really be good for 2 years in a row. He doesn't remember, you know, the mid-90s. He was really little and doesn't remember that. So, yeah, all he's known is his heartbreak through the years, too.
Yeah, so as far as Harry's concerned, this is just a mediocre team run by a guy who doesn't know how to run a football team.
Yeah.
And he has no allegiance, nor affection for, nor affinity for Jerry Jones. He's just a pretty mediocre general manager and a pretty poor public speaker as far as my 14-year-old son is concerned.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to describe him. And, you know, as I prefaced that this morning with saying several things because I was very conflicted because through the years, I've had a very good relationship with Jerry.
You worked for
Jerry.
How long were you the voice of Texas Stadium?
The last, I guess, 10 years of the stadium from 98 till 2008. So I guess you throw the 2000 year in there, I guess 11 years, I did PA and the Jones family. You know, I really think a lot of them. I got to know Shy really well when I did the Desperados. I think Charlotte is just brilliant. And, you know, I've gotten along with Steven through the years and I've got along with Jerry really well through the years, and I understand that he's been a target. You know, hey, how come you haven't gone to a Super Bowl? What about the handling of this? And, you know, and he takes his fair shake of shots, but I couldn't believe what he said on Sunday. I can't believe how he's doubled down on that sense, and there's been some people who have, you know, spoken against it since Sunday, but I just feel like the backlash has been minimal, and I felt like I had to say something, and I don't know if I made any sense, because I know I went in a lot of different directions, but to basically say that he knows that Zeke has done nothing wrong, I just think is ridiculous. He wasn't there. He wasn't there for those 5 days. I thought Dale Hansen made a great point the other night. There's two people who know, Zeke and the alleged victim, his, I guess, former girlfriend now. And, you know, anything else, maybe some were witness to either abuse or as some has testified, non-abuse. But to say that he knows he's done nothing wrong and his, you know, to paraphrase of, you know, by anybody's standards, he's done nothing wrong.
It's he said just, Zeke has in no way, by any standard in this country, done anything wrong. That's the exact quote.
Yeah, and I just so Zeke's a saint, and we're all just, including Roger Goodell and the discipline committee and the judges who've looked at this over the last several months, they're all just way off base, and, you know, this is about Zeke playing football, and that's all this is about. Jerry wants him to play football, and I'm sure there is some doubt as to exactly what happened, either good or bad, from the Cowboys' perspective. But I just think how Jerry has handled this thing. If Roger Goodell takes heat for how he handles really delicate situations, well, Jerry ought to take a lot of heat for how he's handled this. It's embarrassing, and it really goes back to training camp. Remember, David, I think it was the first day of training camp. He said he saw no proof, I believe was the word, of domestic violence.
No proof. Yes. This is nothing more than he said, she said, and there is no proof. And I've seen everything, and there is nothing there. And this gets, I know you and I have talked about this briefly before, but look, these are the most difficult cases to try. Prosecutors, police, family members, friends, all involved. This is so difficult, but what you have so much and why this continues, what's so insidious about it and why it continues to perpetuate is that people throw up their hands and go, hey, only those two people know. How can anyone else know what happened between these two people? Who am I to be judge and jury? And it's like there's almost like a willing suspension of rational thought that allows this to continue. And I was struck, you told the story about some of your neighbors growing up. Can you talk about that again a little bit and just how that really impacted you?
Yeah, it really did. I was 12 years old living in Wheaton, Illinois, and the family next to us, the wife was a victim of domestic abuse, and she came over to our house late one night. She had been beaten up, and I heard her screams and wailing, and I saw the blood in the snow the next day. I didn't see her directly, but I knew what had happened because my parents attended to her. And she was seeking shelter for herself and her four kids. And, it wasn't the only time. She had to come over 6 months later. She had to come over and seek shelter from this animal who was beating her. That guy never went to jail. He went to jail that night, but he never did any time because no one saw it. The kids weren't going to testify. And just like here, it was he said, she said. And so many, and as I said this morning, look, are athletes targets? Absolutely. Did she tell Zeke, I'm going to ruin your life? Maybe she did. And there are numerous examples of athletes who've been targeted. But I would say there are thousands more in this country who have been physically, mentally abused in their relationship, either their marriage or a serious relationship, and nothing ever happens. Because it's just what you said, David. It's he said, she said. And for some reason, especially if it's an athlete, we tend to believe the athlete. So I guess we're to the point now where unless we see it on videotape, like in the Ray Rice case or the Joe Mixon case, then it probably didn't happen. And I just think that's ridiculous.
And your frustration with Jerry is, you know, he knows all of this. You know he knows these stories. He knows the impact. And he's made a willing determination to protect his brand and to market his players at the expense of what he knows is a serious societal issue in your mind. When he makes these sort of statements, do you believe it goes beyond just protecting Ezekiel Elliott and it casts doubt over this whole issue? Is that part of...
Yeah, I really don't, to be honest, I don't know what his motivation is. I guess it is to cast doubt over it, to make himself look better, to make the team look better. And I think it does go hand in hand, and you guys can comment on this. I think it goes hand in hand with his new, I guess, declared war on Roger Goodell. You know, and he doesn't like, he was all for Goodell when he handled the Tom Brady situation. But apparently now Goodell has no idea of what he's doing, and therefore he's starting to feel the wrath of Jerry.
I mean, is that how you feel about it, David? Because I'm fascinated by... Well, I want to ask, but there's a whole bunch of stuff. And as I'm listening to you talk about it this morning, as we're listening to it today, and the fact is we ran a transcript of it on DallasNews.com if people haven't heard it. It's been read tens of thousands of times today. People have responded to it. And I think you and Craig got into a lot of issues, which is that this is about Jerry wanting to defend his player, his product. The fact is, we talk about this all the time, that there is no owner more loyal to the detriment of this team, to its image, to its reputation. This is a team that has signed and defended countless embarrassing players over the last several years.
No question.
I mean, the fact is that Jerry can do this in the wake of Greg Hardy a couple of years ago, that we can sit here and defend players. And, you know, I sit here and think a couple of weeks ago, the mayor had the domestic violence task force meeting, the annual meeting of which Jennifer Staubach Gates is the chairperson. She's been on talking about how domestic violence in sports. She was on talking about, in fact, we had her on when Greg Hardy was signed,
mm-hmm.
how it was very difficult for her to root for the team for which her father had played for so many years because of the Greg Hardy signing. And this is just sort of another wave.
People are turning out because of the anthem, not because of any of these issues. How can you dismiss these issues and say these aren't impacting potential viewership, but this is?
Right. I mean, to put it at the feet, to lay the blame at this other thing is wildly problematic, to the point where my son asked me as he was getting out of the car, he said, "How do you feel about the Cowboys these days?" You know, I was born and raised here. We were born and raised here. I've known no other team. I've known no other team to root for. And I told Harry when he got out of the car after listening to you today, I said, "You know, it just comes down to the fact that I root for the clothes, not the people who wear them and not the people who own them. I just root for the clothes now." There are a bunch of guys.
I know, but see, that's a real disconnect for me. And you're right, Robert. I kind of feel the same way. But growing up, we rooted for the guys in the clothes. We loved Too Tall Jones and Charlie Waters. And I'm not saying they were perfect. You know, I love Tom Landry. My youngest son's middle name is Landry. And you know, to me, they stood for something. And, you know, maybe it was pie in the sky. Maybe we were all naive and there were nefarious things going on that we didn't know about. I'm sure there were. But, you know, at least there was some accountability. You know, when Thomas Hollywood Henderson started going off the rails, they cut him. He wasn't on the team anymore. They didn't stand for it. You know, when someone dared attack Roger Staubach, they got rid of him. You know, they didn't hang on to people like that. They stood for something. And I don't know. And maybe that's what made the Cowboys so special to us all. And
but we're kids then, too.
We were kids. But, you know, into my adulthood, you know, and my first year covering the Cowboys was Tom Landry's last. And my suite mate at training camp and at Cal Lutheran was David Moore, as a matter of fact, way back in 1988. But I don't know. It was just a different time, and there was a real – everything changed for me in February of 1989 when Jerry first bought the team. It just changed, and I don't know if I'm a Cowboy fan anymore. I really don't know how to answer that anymore. I follow the team really closely because I feel like I have to for my job. And I guess I'm with you, Robert, and I see that helmet. It still stirs some emotion in me, and I still want the best for them. But, man, I can't root for this, and I can't believe that Jerry has said these things and we're all just going to let him go. Okay, that's Jerry, you know. And I was somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I was somewhat serious. I really think Steven needs to wrestle the keys away from him, just like he did to talk him out of taking Johnny Manziel. Maybe that should have been the first clue that Jerry was not thinking clearly.
So what has been the reaction to your discussion this morning? Have you heard from anybody?
That's really interesting because I was, you know, doing this as long as we've done it, I know what the hot buttons are, and I knew going into this morning, as we say, sometimes you just put on your helmet and you just get ready to take on a lot of flack and fire. I have not received one, "I think you're wrong," email or tweet yet. Now, I haven't been through all my emails yet. but I haven't received one. It has been, you said exactly what I'm thinking. You said exactly what my friends and I are thinking. And I didn't set out to do that. I set out just to say what I've been thinking since Sunday. But I'm amazed how many people I've heard from who have said, man, you said exactly what I've been thinking about. There were several women this morning who dropped off notes and that, you know, that said, thank you for speaking up to so many women who don't have a voice. And I swear to you, I didn't really think about that going in. I mean, I did. That was part of the message. But I really didn't think I'd receive that type of reaction and the type of reaction that it's you know, that's garnered in from the morning news and you guys. I just, you know, I thought it was a segment. I thought it was a strong segment. But I think a lot of Cowboy fans feel that way. They're embarrassed the way Jerry has acted about a lot of things over the years. But I think this one, he's just crossed the line with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think what you said today was the culmination of the way people have felt about Jerry for a long time. Not Jerry the GM, not Jerry the owner, but just Jerry. That there is something that feels, and I don't want to say unseemly about it, but it does. There is sort of this sort of sheen of that sort of covers the last few years of this team. The people they've signed, the people they've defended, to turn Ezekiel Elliott into a victim.
That's the one that really got me,
That's the
his radio interview. The use of that word. When you have victims around this country who are really, truly victims of a crime, of a terrible crime, of domestic violence, and we've all seen it at some point, or we've known someone at some point who's been a true victim of that, and to compare that word and what that means with what Ezekiel, David and I were talking today, how about the legal team that Ezekiel Elliott has? How about the NFL Players Association being on his side? And apparently an entire organization with the star on their helmet. Although I do wonder about that. You think Jason Witten's really on board with how Jerry goes to the mat for Ezekiel Elliott?
No, you know, that's one thing I have talked a lot about with my son. We talked about it today when we talked about rooting for the clothes as opposed to the people in them. There are people on that team, Witten chief among them, who I genuinely think and certainly know his work with victims of domestic violence, who cannot look at this and at all be thrilled by the association.
And that's part of, I think, everyone in that locker room, too. You have to divorce someone's acts from who they are and your interactions with them if they're going to be your teammate, if you work with them on a daily basis. Some people can do that better than others, but George, I think what struck me about what you said today, and this is kind of, we're trying to wrap all this up now as much as we can because there's so much going on here emotionally, but I think, like, in some ways almost you and Robert have had like a willing going back to rooting for the clothes rather than the individuals. There's almost like a willing, okay, this is how I can continue to keep my fandom, this is how I can justify all of these things I don't feel good about. I'll compartmentalize it, I'll focus on again, the acts on the field versus the acts off of the field and the culture and the passes that are being given on boorish or borderline criminal behavior. And finally, you just reach a point where you're not willing to look the other way anymore because you have so many examples of it. And I'm kind of struck or get the sense that you just feel you just can't look the other way anymore. There have just been too many. And when Jerry uses the word victim with Elliott on this, it's such an insult to your fandom and to, look, I've been trying to cut you a break all these years, and now you continue to do this, that you just kind of finally reach a breaking point.
Betrayal is a hell of a thing.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I wish I could have said it so succinctly this morning as I was just kind of driving all over the road and, you know, just emotionally spitting out what I felt. But I think that's right. And I have defended Jerry. You know, I've criticized him too. And there's plenty wrong with the structure of this organization. But, you know, they've been able to overcome that in recent years with, you know, the work that Will McClay has done. And a lot of the scouting department has done. And a lot of these assistant coaches who You know, and I think to a degree, Jason Garrett, too. He's done a lot of things right since he's been the head coach. But there's always that element out there. Jerry, who can, as Jason's trying to build a team of men of character, he'll go out and sign Greg Hardy. As Jason's trying to give one message, Jerry will come out and say something else. And I'll say this. I don't know how great a coach Jason Garrett is. I guarantee you he is embarrassed by what Jerry said on Sunday and what he has said since about the victim and how he's not getting a fair shake. I would see that if we had this has been going on now for what? Are we up to 15 months? How is that not a fair shake? How many appeals? How is that not a fair shake? All the representation he has and he's not getting a fair shake? It's just, like I said, it's ridiculous. It's insulting to anyone's intelligence. And I guess with some, maybe this reaches and rings true. Hey, Jerry's right. Yeah, you go get him, Jerry. You tell him. Stick up for your player. Stick up and take it to Roger Goodell. Because there's plenty of people who are against Goodell. So I guess that scores pretty well with some people. But it doesn't score well with me, and as I found out today, there's a lot of people that feel the same way I do.
Did you hear from the Cowboys at all? From anybody who might?
No. No, not a one. And I don't have too much contact. There's some people in the organization I'll talk to maybe once a month or so that are still friends of mine who work for the organization in pretty prominent positions, but no. And as I said, I root for them. I root for them. I hope it goes well for them, but I don't know. I have a hard time rooting for this, whatever this mess has been these last couple of months.
Well, it's been weird. David and I have talked about this a lot over the course of the season of doing intentional grounding here. We've barely talked about football.
I know.
I mean, it is disconcerting.
And we've wanted to on several nights, but you can't avoid what's going on and what the,
Between I'm going to cut you if you protest, and I'm going to go to the mat for you if there's documentation of domestic violence. It's been a problematic season for any number of reasons.
Yeah, no, it has. And I know people are tired of it too. Just maybe us talking about it as much as they're tired of Jerry talking about it. But I think I'm really after today. I think I'm done talking about Zeke. He's not on the team anyway, right? I don't know. Is there an update on that? Is he back on? David, is he out?
He's still off as of now. Yeah, very, very. He's exhausted just about all of his legal options, and they should come to an end here in the next 48 hours or so.
Well, George Kelly.
I can root for Alfred Morris. I can root for Rod Smith. I can root for Darren McFadden.
We're about to do a whole segment on Darren McFadden.
What's that?
We're about to do a whole segment on Darren McFadden.
Oh, yeah. He was at Arkansas when my son was at Arkansas. And talked to him several times. I don't know. That's a whole weird thing, too, about how he's been inactive. Now he may carry it 15 times
a game. Yeah.
All right. Well, Killer's about to hang up on you, so we don't want to make him do that.
Oh, no. All right. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Hey, thank George, so much, great George. Pleasure. That's a great George Dunham.
Appreciate
you can
it.
Obviously hear him every weekday morning, 5:30 to 10 o'clock here on Sports Radio 1310, 96.7 FM.